UA meeting, what is today? September 27th?
I mean, I appreciate all I said.
Please tell me if I pronounce your name really wrongly. Arnold Chatterd.
Yeah.
How do you say that? Okay. Yu. Pamela. Leon Lawrence.
Here.
Rodney Orange.
Here.
Robert K.
Here. That's K.
Sorry. Randy Wayne.
Here.
Okay. So the first thing, does anyone have any late additions to the agenda?
I was just going to ask, for the budget planning committee, there's one UA liaison to that, and I was just wondering if we were going to vote on that or decide on that, how that was going to work. I was actually interested in serving as the UA liaison. So that was just a question.
Okay.
If we were to add that or not.
All right, we can talk about it at the end.
Okay.
So first we're just going to go around and do introductions since everyone doesn't necessarily know everyone here. So, Ethan, do you want to start and go around and just say your name and what, like, constituency you represent?
I'm Ethan Muslow. I represent the undergrad.
I'm Katie Whalen. I represent the undergrad as well.
I'm Arnav Chatterjee. I'm the secretary of the Graduate Assembly.
Rodney Orr, staff.
I'm Kate Duke. I represent undergrads, and I'm part of the FA.
I'm Jim Glenn. I'm the grad chair.
Joel Tomorrow, I'm the undergrad chair.
Tammy Bishop, staff chair.
Ari Epstein, Assembly Staff.
Leon Lawrence, I represent staff.
Randy Wayne, represent faculty.
Bob K, faculty.
I'm Charlie Walker, I'm dean of the faculty, and I'm just here to serve.
Okay, and also Amy O'Donnell couldn't be here today, but she's the Assemblies Coordinator, so if you go by Day Hall, you might want to just go into the Office of Assemblies and introduce yourself, since she's going to be playing a large role here this semester. So one thing we're going to do is just going to go do a quick review of the university assembly structure. If for new members, you should have gotten your folder. If not, or your binder, it's over there in the box. So basically, the university assembly is the umbrella organization of the EA, GPSA, and student assembly. Basically, you do this so if there's a lot of issues that interact with multiple associations on campus, the UA can deal with it on a larger scale. There's an executive committee, which is Jim, myself, Tammy, and Ellis Lowe. And basically, we just meet so that all the different constituencies, the undergrads, grads, staff, and faculty, can know what's going on with each other and be in communication. And basically, we have executive monthly leadership breakfasts, and we meet with the head of student assembly, the head of GPSA, and a bunch of faculty and administration to discuss the going on in the university. One of the big things with the university assembly, like you can read about it in your folder, is that we have a bunch of committees. Ari, I don't know, did you bring the sheet with the different committees on it?
There should be a listing of committees, though, in the UA binders.
Okay.
Did all the new members get UA binders?
Basically, I guess, email me. What you need to do is email me which committees you would like to join, one, or up to three, which would be your first preference. And if you'd be willing to join more than three, hopefully you've all gotten emails from me, but my email, just in case, is jgm37. And the main committees we have are the Colds and Judicial Committee, the University Health Services, Transportation Advisory Committee, the Campus Store, and Cornell Religious Works Advisory Board. So please just put in your preference, 1 through 3, which committee to join. And that would be good. We want to get those started as well. Also, if you join one of these committees, you're going to be serving as a liaison to the UA, letting us know what's going on in each of these committees. We really want to keep updated this year as opposed to other years when sometimes it's gotten a little iffy just knowing what's been going on. And also this way we can take a more active role. And then finally, with the agenda for each UA meeting, it'll be emailed out, earlier in the day, or hopefully at least the day before, if not earlier than that. So you should know what's going on for each meeting. Another thing that we would like to discuss is just our plans and goals for the year. So if anyone has anything they'd like to discuss, please jump in.
Before we go to that item, is the structure of the UA going to remain the same with the four, with the leadership?
Right now, we're in the process of discussing that. We're definitely going to have still the executive committee with one from each constituency, one person that was elected at the end of last semester, and we're working on trying to figure out how it's going to be perfectly organized.
Do you have a preference or idea?
Well, my question is that the charter, I think, would have to reflect that, because I don't think it does at the moment. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's actually one of the things we're going to be working on this year, is going over the charter just to make sure that everything that's going on in the university assembly is written in the charter, and what's going on in the charter reflects what's going on in here. Okay. So that's going to be one of our big undertakings this year, and we're really going to try to put a lot of effort into that. So if anyone wants to be involved in that, please let us know, because we want everyone's input. And if you know things that you don't think are accurate or things that should be added in, that'd be really helpful.
So for the past 2 years, just so everyone knows, the UA has been running basically outside of the rules of the charter to try to see what works, what doesn't work. Not everyone here will know, but as you're reading through, you might see something that you think, what? Why do we do that? Or how did that come about? Or, something like that. But I think after 2 years of running outside the charter, it's time to either rewrite it or just stick to it. But I think most people would be in an agreement to revise it, to make it up to date. There's been no changes to it since 2003.
So it's in your binder, so please just take a look through it, even if you don't think any changes are necessary. It'd just be good to know what our charter says. And definitely one of the big changes or undertakings we're going to be looking at this year is the task forces that were set up a couple of years ago. We want to see if they're still going to apply now that President Scorton is here, and if it's still worth our efforts to be undertaking those. And another main goal of the year that the executive committee came up with was working on the relations between each constituency and really trying to foster a better relationship between the two. For example, one of the goals by December is to try to get a graduate and undergraduate student event going on. If anyone has any ideas of what that should be or how it should be done, please let us know. And definitely we want to try to get all these different groups of the university assembly interacting more than just coming here for one monthly meeting. So if anyone has any ideas of what to do to try to better foster relations, that'd be helpful. Another one of our main goals for the year is designing a budget. It's been discussed for the past 2 years, but we really would like to get that done this year, develop one, and also that would help us get a much bigger role on campus if people know that they don't just get our support, but they can actually get funding from us. So that'd be important. So let us know if you want to be involved with that as well. And then also today at the executive breakfast, we were informed that basically the assemblies are going to be starting a column in the Cornell Chronicle. So we need to pretty much get a public relations committee together, a person who wants to prepare kind of a little press release, not just about when our meetings are, but kind of the news and focusing on that. I don't know if either of you want to.
Are you guys thinking just doing the Cornell Chronicle, or is it going to be
Right now, it's just going to be focused on the Cornell Chronicle. Mm-hmm. We can talk with people from the Daily Sun, and you can always put something in, like, a guest column. I've talked to get, like, the person in charge of that. But for now, it's going to be definitely focused on doing a weekly article in the Cornell Chronicle, and that's going to be in joint with all the other assemblies. So that'll be important. Another thing we'd like to discuss is inviting President Scorton to one of these meetings. Obviously, we didn't want to invite him to this one since it's pretty much going over to the basics of the university assembly, but if you guys have any ideas or any preferences to which meeting we were to invite him to, or do you guys think inviting him to a meeting is a good idea?
I think it's a wonderful idea if we have an issue to invite him to speak with us about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At the end of last year, one of the main things going on was Barbara Krause was charged with examining the campus code of conduct. And so that was one major thing that the UA had a role in last year. She published her report in April, but we basically haven't been able to get a copy of it. So we're just trying to figure out what her recommendations were and specifically how they're going to impact the university assembly. So,
did she actually publish it, or did she give it to
it was
Rawlins and Rawlins that he would let the new incoming president handle it?
I believe it was passed on to President Scorton's office, and they're reviewing it, but it's no longer, it's not private information anymore, so.
It's on the web? It's on the Cornell web or something?
I don't know if it's on the web, mm-hmm. but.
We're not quite sure, but we're just trying to find out how to get access to it so we can see if it has any major implications towards what we do.
I have a copy, and my hope was that this was something that the assembly would take very seriously and spend most of the year probably working on, because it's a very substantial change from the present code of conduct. Largely in that the present code of conduct is a long list of thou shalt not, and Barbara has redrafted it into a more positive framework of thou shalt, and should thou fail, there are I think in order for it to have any validity at all, it needs to be discussed by codes and judicial committee and needs to be discussed by this body. And anything I can do to expedite that, I'm happy to do. I have a copy which was not in any way labeled confidential, so I'm happy to share it with anybody in the assembly.
That would be great. Thank you.
But I need some email addresses.
Okay.
So
we could,
maybe you could just send it to Ari.
And I could just send it to the list.
Okay. Do you have an email address for
That should cover, that report should overlap a lot with some of the big issues we've been wrestling with mm-hmm. over the past couple of years. And maybe that, I haven't seen the report, but it sounds like that would be a wonderful thing to cover.
Yeah.
And then maybe that's a good point to invite President Scorton around the afternoon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sounds
like Lehman, past president, started this. He couched things more. Less in a punitive
right.
way.
Right.
Than
yeah, that was the best meeting.
Yes, so this is good. This is the fruits of that.
Yes, it is. And the second piece of that is the whole issue of academic integrity, which is another thing that I hope very much that the assemblies might be willing to consider yet again, because it is a problem that has not gone away.
Since you've seen the report, if we were to prioritize, I was going to bring up academic integrity. So if we were to prioritize with looking at academic integrity versus this report, how would you prioritize that?
Well, there's some overlap between the two, of course, but I don't know. I think the code is something which is absolutely central to the assembly's mission, because it affects all of our communities, students, staff, faculty, and so on. And I think that's absolutely critical. And my hope would be then maybe, so I guess I prioritize that first, that's your question.
since it would have a substantial amount of academic integrity.
No, no, it really doesn't.
Maybe it
it's more behavioral.
Okay, and then one of the final things we need to do is we need to call a couple first meetings to order just because they can't operate without the university assembly calling them to order. So we need, if someone wants to, call the Codes and Judicial Committee. Okay.
I think Ellis
Okay. He's not here, so. Okay. And then did we need to call TAC as well? Or okay.
You got a vote?
What's TAC?
Transportation
and Advisory Committee. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then does any? Oh, you wanted to discuss?
Well, I can actually just email you about the committee, unless and are we going to vote on it in the next meeting, or is it just going to be determined in the meantime? How's that process going to work in terms of committees?
Well, in terms of committees, I need everyone to email me their stuff, and then I will. And you should email it out. Yeah.
Okay.
And then. If that's all right.
Yeah, then no, that'll be great. Thank you.
Okay. And if everyone could email me their preferences by the end of this week for which committee they would like to join. Again, write your top three if you'd like to actually do more than one. That'd be very helpful.
Now, to assist with that, I'm sorry, we were going to print out a list of committees with brief descriptions of what each committee does. That list is also available online, and I will send out an email with a link tonight to the listserv, and that way everybody will have easy access to the list. And I'm sorry we didn't include that. That's my mistake.
Does anyone have anything else they would like to discuss?
At one point there was some discussion of this group getting out of the kind of historical and in other words, just kind of moving on from those committees. Because it, to all appearances, everything that's happening without reference to us with those two groups, that's what I remember. So I'm wondering whether those committees, we might ask ourselves what we want to do.
Your correct remembering is right. But once again, I think that with that in the charter, you have to look at the charter.
Yeah.
You know? There's so many things we're doing different that are not according to the charter, but you're right, that was that was an issue too. What role is it going to play?
And that'll definitely be examined when
okay.
we look at the charter. And
the context of the charter.
Okay, no one else has anything to add? Yes,
sir. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is the campus planning committee active, and has it been integrating with the consultants on the campus master plan, do you know?
I think that they have because they still have me on their listserv, and so I've been reading all of.
So they actually have been functionally meeting and talking and doing things.
Oh,
do you
the
know?
Campus planning committee is probably the most active committee under the UA. They're probably because they have their own office, but. They meet regularly. All of their members attend. They're pretty active.
Good. Well, I just am concerned because I see this master planning effort going ahead,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to make sure that the assemblies had input to this whole planning process. I'm relieved to hear that it does.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, well, and our next UA meeting is going to be on October 25th from 4:30 to 6 again at 701 Clark. And it's going to start promptly at 4:30, so if everyone could get here on time, that would be great.
Awesome. How many pages is the cross? I think you have to repeat.
Sorry?
The date again?
It's October 25th.
25th.
We'll email it out and it's on
the
assembly
book. How many pages is the cross?
I know.
Gee, I don't remember how we get it to Alan right away, and then you get it to us right away, so we have time to.
Sure.
Is there anything specific you want us to be doing, or do you think that would be beneficial for the next meeting to come with?
if you can email me your committee assignments by like the end of this week, that way we can start getting involved with that. Also, guys, if you have time right now, if you want to look through the report or the charter right here, if you can pick out your the committees that you'd want to join in. You can just write it down now. That's convenient for you.
And the only ones that you can't are
the
committee on committees is in here, but that committee doesn't exist anymore. So they went away. It was 2 years ago. So if you look in there's Article 7 and Article 8 list all of our committees, and so including the Committee on Committees. I think your role on these committees would be just a liaison, so you wouldn't be a voting member. So for like the CJC, you'd go to all their meetings and come back to the UA and report on what they've done, be in close contact with that chair. The Assembly's Financial Aid Review Committee, they don't really meet. Everything there is done through email, so I'm not sure if... The Assembly System Review Committee, does that even exist? It hasn't in 5 years.
It may be brought back into an existence to discuss. It might
be
a good forum for discussing structural changes to committees. And
mm-hmm. Then there's the Campus Planning Committee, the Budget Planning Committee, that hasn't existed. And then there's some campus life committees. Board on University Health Services doesn't exist anymore. Transportation Advisory Committee. That, depending on the year, is a pretty hopping committee. And I don't know, I guess the report came out from the survey from last year. Weren't you part of that, Leon?
Yeah, I was a member of that.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know. Have they started meeting or anything yet? Does anyone know?
I don't think so.
They've had one meeting so far.
Mm-hmm. Because I know they wiped out a lot of their visitor parking, which I know a lot of people are kind of upset about. So that might be a pretty hot topic for them this year. Transportation Hearing and Appeals Board, we can't do anything with. They vote on tickets. And then there's the Cornell Store and URW, which we have to decide what to do with.
So like at our next meeting, we're going to go through these committees and the charter, and is that correct or not? It's the October 25th meeting. Is that?
I think we're going to start meeting earlier about going over the charter, so we can email out when those meetings are, and if other people want to come to that, more than welcome. But we're going to try to take a very active role with going over the charter, so that's going to be going on outside of university, these official university assembly meetings.
So like for the first order of business for the execs is to figure out who's doing what, the membership of, you know,
each
the
committee.
Four.
Sorry.
Yeah, the four of us. So if you have input, you know, read through 3.6, what the responsibilities are of the execs.
Just for clarification, about how many current members of the UA, because I know all the members are not here, but I don't know how many, because
there are 6 undergrads, 3 grads, 5 employees. There's supposed to be 7
faculty.
We have 3 vacancies.
So that's roughly about 30 people.
No, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We have 18.
Oh, 18?
So we do need to find 3 more faculty reps, and that's been pretty hard to still, unfortunately. So we're still looking for three more people who... So if you guys have any idea of what other faculty members would like to join the University Assembly, that would be...
Or that may be something to work on this year is the breakdown of the membership. You know, why are there only three graduate students and five employees when we have the same amount of people in those two constituents? And the same with faculty. Why are there seven faculty? And we can never get seven faculty, so... Ellis and I tried to find it 3 years ago, and we have no idea who came up with these numbers and what the reasoning was. It's not written anywhere, so...
As you can tell, we're going to be looking over a lot of things and...
Probably some sequence. The Nazi sequence.
Yeah. Well, it makes it hard because, you know...
With all these committees, though, and with a handful of people, how can you... You know what I mean?
Right.
I could respond a little bit on that. Most of these committees are actually staffed by the constituent assemblies.
Mm-hmm.
So almost all the employee positions are staffed by the EA and... Same for the SA and GPSA, so...
No, I think he means for just our little group going to all
yes.
these meetings.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
But when it says, you know, we're supposed to have X amount of seated members in order to have quorum, a certain percentage has to be here. Well, you know, when we have three vacancies against us for the faculty already, it makes it hard to have, you know, we're short already for a quorum if only one person doesn't show. Something to think about.
So definitely please look through your folder and look at the charter. If you have anything you think is really important to change immediately, let us know. We'll email you about when the first meeting is, trying to go over about the charter, since that's something we're really going to try to actively pursue this year.
Anyone?
Just on the reviewing the charter, so what is the timeline for that? Because when you say we're going to try this year, are we talking about a couple of months? Are we talking about the entire academic year to bring closure to it? Or probably a whole year.
Since we're reviewing the whole charter and really going to try to make it reflect what's going on here,
right.
that it's probably going to take a decent amount of time to make to come up with every change that's necessary for it.
How do you change the charter? Is that something the assemblies itself does?
Yes.
If so, does it have to be voted on by all the constituents, or do you just decide?
Changes to the charter, any one of us can come to a meeting with proposed changes, and it would be written in a resolution form, and then discuss it, vote on it, and then it has to go to the president in order for it to pass. So, you know, if it takes him, I think he has 30 days.
So, Tammy, you're saying that basically this body then can change the chart.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go through constituent assemblies or anything like that. It just can be done. That's wonderful.
Well, but the hope would be that, you know, Leon here from the EA, he would go to the EA and say, okay, this is what the UA is thinking of doing. What do you guys all think of this? And then he would come back and say, you know, the EA
mm-hmm.
approves. But
yeah, but I was just worrying about the legal authority.
Yeah, no, we can do it. We just have to send it on to the president and he approves it.
Let me put two steps in for possibly talking about academic integrity this year. I think Charlie actually brought it to us a couple of years ago. And the initial problem came, I guess Gannett Healthcare wasn't going to write medical excuses for people that missed an exam. So the question is, how do we deal with people lying, telling the truth, having a sense of integrity so they won't lie when they say, you know, my grandmother died and I couldn't take the test. And then somebody said, well, isn't that your seventh grandmother? and how to deal with that problem. And while we were dealing with it, we were sort of discussing whether we should handle it a thou shalt not, or, you know, this is how we should be. And we talked about honor code and various ways of handling the big issue of academic integrity. And that, I think the discussions were the best we've ever had. And I would love to take up that issue again this year.
One thing that concerns me, though, and that's like in terms of our time, I know we're all busy. Like at some point, I think it's good to discuss and debate, but I think we need to bring closure, you know what I mean, and decide and make some decisions and take some action, because we're repeating things that have already been done for the past 2 or 3 years. So when is there going to be any closure and any action? So that's just my concern. These are important issues, you know, code of conduct and academic integrity. But how long are we going to continue to debate and discuss them?
I think one of the biggest issues we should see over the next, like, 3 years, is maybe possibly just bridging the gap between the different constituencies, and especially between all the assemblies. I mean, especially since the university assembly is kind of the umbrella for all of the assemblies, and yet it seems like we really don't play that much of a role within each one, or really know what else is going on between all the different ones. And I think that that's probably, I mean, when we're looking at redoing our charter and looking at rethinking about what our position is within the assembly, or assemblies as a whole, I think that that probably should be one of the biggest issues this year. And I know, like, academic integrity is extremely important. If you guys had already looked at it 2 years ago and, like, came to some conclusions or closure with regards to it, maybe that's something that's already been tabled and something that, you know, you guys already closed on. I don't know what the results of those debates actually were, but, I mean, if you came up with something, then that's, I don't know. If that's
no, no closure.
If you came up with anything. Or
no closure,
yeah.
Yeah. We began it in the spring 2 years ago. And then I would say last year was a wash.
Then what necessarily were the debates about? What, how to handle, or what type of consequences or to do with that? Or,
well, that was a meeting of one of a number, particularly in such and he had some very firm ideas on how to look at the whole question, which were quite instructive. Of course, they weren't translated into anything into action. But we start talking about an honor code. I don't know about closing that in 2 months. You know.
Do you mean implementing honor code?
Yeah. There was an active discussion of that.
And then also maybe looking at, if you will, best practices at other institutions, what's going on at other institutions. I mean, I know it takes time. I'm just saying, you know, one of the things that I find is that a lot of meetings, a lot of discussions, but where's the closure? Where's the action? You know what I mean?
I'm just saying, back to the integrity, I know that's an extremely important issue, but maybe that's something we can look at as well as, you know, bridging the gap, because, I mean, it seems like, you know, when we're re-looking at our charter, that's something that's going to be going on outside of these meetings. And so maybe, you know, kind of thinking about that, like kind of going in two different directions or taking on two issues as well. I mean, because I think we need to look at the structure of our own assembly before we actually are able to implement or do any action.
I think, too, that it might be good to invite the, I don't know all the leadership of, like, I don't know who's the leader of the Faculty Senate and Donna Goss, I know. Oh, okay. And Donna Goss is for the Employee Assembly, and Kwame is for the Student Assembly. I don't know who is for the Grad Assembly.
Janet.
So, Janet, that's right. So maybe we should invite them in, and also at an appropriate time, after we get ourselves together, to invite them in and to find out also, from their perspective, how we can work better with them.
Maybe at the meeting where we invite President Scorton, calling everyone into the space. Could you get everyone to come in for once, like a big discussion meeting? That would be. Yeah. Anyone have any other input they wanted?
I'd just like to make an observation, which is I think the academic integrity died largely because everybody here was far too busy to do the necessary legwork to gather the information. to kind of carry it forward. And one proposal I have made to the president is that we might need an executive officer of this group who would undertake to do those kinds of tasks for us and would help draft things, would help pull it together so that our job really would be, or the assembly's job, I don't mean mine, but the assembly's job would be that of reviewing this and saying, well, what about this and what about that, and then approving and moving on. But I think when it comes to doing the amount of work that is involved in both the code of conduct and the academic integrity issue, I don't think anybody around here has time. And so that's been one of my propositions to the president, that he might wish to invest some money in it, and he did not say no. He didn't say yes. But I think this is something that is worthy of discussion, and if the group feels that might be helpful, I will be happy to talk with him tomorrow about it when I meet him.
I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't hear any loud no's.
They
won't say no.
I mean, are there any specific recommendations? Were you here for discussion a couple years ago for academic integrity?
No, I don't think that. I think it was, I don't remember any written record at all.
You came, Tom Owens.
Oh, yes, a whole group of us came and talked with the group about the problems. And the president and Tommy Bruce came. Jeff Lehman, and we talked about it at some length, but then essentially nothing happened, and the reason nothing happened was there was nobody around to make it happen. And I can understand that. I mean, we're all busy, and I think if we want anything to happen, we've got to invest some money in it, and I'm happy to try and help and see if I can make that happen.
What exactly do you want to happen with this academic integrity discussions to the end of the day? Do we want?
I think what needs to happen is that there needs to be a discussion of the basic problem and how might one approach it, how have other universities approached it, and what has been their rate of success with it. And then we need to decide, the group needs to decide, whether perhaps an honor code would be a helpful thing, or maybe not, or maybe here's another approach that has worked well at other universities, and perhaps we would choose to adopt that. So I think it's really a wide open issue, which has had a little preliminary discussion. The preliminary discussion I found very encouraging, because around the table we found that the undergraduates were interested and concerned about it. The graduate students were very interested and concerned, because they're often in the middle, the jam and the sandwich. Faculty were very concerned, and staff who were sitting around the table, who were mostly academic staff, were also concerned. So it was something where we all felt we had something to contribute, but nothing ever happened because there wasn't a focus on a continued effort on it. Because nobody really had the time to do it.
Do you see the basic problem as just a line that's been going on? Or what do you actually see the basic problem?
I think there's a series of problems. I think, first off, I convene every year a meeting of all the academic integrity people from all the various colleges. And we kind of look at the number of cases that are dealt with. And those numbers have been increasing. So there's an increasing problem. Academic integrity, whether it be plagiarism, cheating on exams, falsifying medical excuses, or a variety of things that are showing up. And there are a whole variety of reasons for these. I mean, it's not altogether malicious. It's that we have people from other cultures coming in and joining us in the academic world who come from a very different background, where the standards of academic conduct are very different than they are in our community. And so part of it is a communications problem. Part of it is a problem of increased academic pressure. People getting into medical school or not getting into medical school, or fearing that they won't get into medical school, which has created a difficulty. And I think there are lots of problems. And the issue is, as a community, how should we best respond to this? And what can we do that's going to help?
Do you find a certain prevalence amongst certain majors or certain studies?
I think so. I think that there tends to be more of a problem in the sciences than in some other areas, but it's not zero in other areas. There has tended to be a particular increase in engineering and in the Johnson School, I believe. There are some, and I wonder if those particular ones don't correlate with the number of students from other cultures.
Because I know I went to Michigan for undergrad, and they have a school-specific honor code. So arts and science won't have it, but engineering will have it. And there have been studies that have shown that the amount of cheating or plagiarism has gone down within the engineering school ever since the implementation of an honor code, even if it was just school-specific. So I don't know if that was something you guys considered.
Well, there's an honor code here in the vet school, for example, and I think in the law school, but I may be wrong about that. There are two of them.
A lot of the grad programs do. Like my grad program has an honor code for every exam we do or every paper we take. So.
Mm-hmm. So it's not something that isn't here. It's just a question of whether it would be useful to think about adopting it on a broader base. But before you do that, you kind of want to look and see what other people's experiences with it is. What are the downsides? What are the upsides? Because it's a serious kind of change that we would think about making. Anyway, my hope was that the assemblies might be willing to tackle these two, what I call very substantive, very difficult, and yet I think very important problems, which is a place where we all have a common interest, that is, wherever our constituencies may be. I'm just an outsider, and I'm just trying to make that as a suggestion. Where I think this group could make a real contribution to the life of the university. And if you're interested in exploring that, I will be happy to do everything I can to mobilize the resources from on high to help.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you recommended was the book that I did read about cheating in America. And the other thing it reminds me of, too, is the video that ABC did a few years ago on cheating in high school, in schools and in colleges. And it's everywhere. It's just, it's like if you get caught cheating, that's what's bad. Cheating is not bad, but it's if you get caught, that's the bad thing. So it is a major problem, and I think maybe if you send him that book, maybe some of us could, use that as a source to start our education about how pervasive it is in our society.
Yeah, I think I actually read that study, and when I was visiting schools for undergrad, it's a cultural thing. It has to do a lot with the students themselves. Rice has a university-wide code for cheating, or an honor code, rather, and they enforce it extremely seriously, like it's an expulsion from school kind of concept, and the students are very good about keeping themselves on track, too, and diverting, any sort of cheating, even with amongst themselves, and I saw that when I was, staying with student overnight, just to check out the campus, and they're really good about that, but, and then you read about a school, I'll just pick Harvard because we don't like them, but they, it's cheating. Harvard.
Where's that?
Yeah, right. it's very rampant, and students will even admit to it. It's almost like students foster cheating upon themselves because they can. They'll actively promote this kind of environment. So it's a cultural thing.
I taught at a large class last spring, and there was a number that we used the clicker system, and there was a lot of cheating going on. And actually, I don't know how many we caught. We caught a number of people. And what we did, we asked them to write a 2-page reflection paper. And most of them didn't think that, so their roommate just broke up with a boyfriend or girlfriend and was really just going down the tube. So they thought, oh, if they bring their roommate's clicker, then at least they won't lose this point on their test. So, I mean, you know, we're talking about relative ethics. They were cheating for a good reason. So they weren't realizing it was cheating. So it certainly goes on here, and just putting a question to the campus community, just so when I want to help my roommate because I want to help my friend, my roommate, etc. But that's cheating. That's not the way to help. That will only hurt everybody in the long run. So just like putting the question out, I think will have a good effect in making people think twice. Because I think all they have to do is think twice. If you don't think, then it's easy to cheat. But if you think, then I think it's hard.
If as a group we decide we want to take this on, I think that'd be really important, since the discussion's not going to, like, we're not going to accomplish necessarily, like, we're not going to come to a conclusion with this issue right now, but if we decide as a group that this is something we want to focus on and definitely put our efforts into this year, I think that would be something to take away, at least from this meeting now. What do you guys think? What are your opinions? Do we want to continue this discussion and keep going with this and move forward?
I would hope so. I would also think that it might also entice faculty to get more involved, since that's directly involved with what they do.
And I think it's even a student concern here. Yeah. I mean, there was just an article in today's Cornell Daily Sun about cheating, and while it did focus on the Johnson School and MBA students and focus on how genuinely concerned the author was about our future business people, and that, you know, if the MBA students are the most likely to cheat in this one survey, then, you know, who are we going to have in the future, like, leading our business in the corporation? So I think that for it to be in the student paper that everyone reads also reflects, an awareness and a concern of it. And also, I wanted to also comment on what you had mentioned about, students thinking twice about it. And I think it's also very important, because I don't think a lot of students here would consider taking a clicker to class cheating. I think, you know, they would be like, oh, you know, I'm helping a friend, very much what you said. And on second thought, they'd be like, yes, you know, that's not right. But I think, you know, initially, many students would be like, of course, you know, I'll help you out, as opposed to, you know, it's something that's morally wrong and ethically questionable. So I think it is a very good concern that we should consider.
Right. Does anyone else have any ideas of, like, any main ideas of what they want to focus on this year?
What about your second issue?
Campus code and academic integrity were the two issues which I felt really are appropriate for this group to think about. And of course, it's the codes and judicial committee that's responsible for the campus code.
Exactly.
And so it really should come out of them. But I still think,
you know, we worked on this revisions in their charter that now come before us.
Yes.
So.
This is Drake Lair, you're right, John.
And the permanent record question, that is, if you have a student who is caught violating the alcohol code, does that record stay always and kept forever in the university, or is there a time limit? And that was a serious question. But we were the ones who decided it, actually. So that's not a... It's pretty tough
here. Okay. Well, if anyone has any questions, feel free to email anyone on the executive committee. And please email me or hand me the sheet with your committee preferences.
I have a question. This is such a silly question. How does the money help us? Does that get a staff member that will help with things?
Well, that was my idea, basically, to try and make a pitch that we needed a staff person to help us with this project, because I think it's a big project, both of them, or either of them, and I think it's going to take some time and some money to resolve it, and it needs an executive officer, as it were, who could devote the time to getting the information that this group feels would help them make a decision, and then move it along and help with the drafting and, you know, put in the time that's needed to expedite the process. But I don't think it'll happen otherwise. Okay.
There's also a judicial board, etc., but there's a parallel thing to each one of the colleges that's taking on but then there's a standard called ASPAC. I don't know if it's an acronym, an academic MBA. And you decide whether somebody who petitions to have a W removed from their transcript or something like that, just in the case, whether that's a valid thing. And so we look at it and we vote on it. And that can involve the same type of behavior that would be reprehensible, that is somebody fabricating things that would lead to one conclusion of ours or other. You know what I mean? It has the same flavor to it, but it doesn't impinge on the judicial system whatsoever. And I think it's actually equally important for the students actually to get a fair shake in that committee as it is to get a fair shake in the judicial system per se. Mm-hmm. They don't intersect whatsoever. And there are other instances of the same thing. So that's bothersome to me.
One last thing on if and when the president is invited, mm-hmm. I think it might be good for us to read his inaugural address, because I think he laid out what his vision is for the university.
Yes.
And I think that would be very helpful to us to be prepared to mm-hmm. have a discussion with him.
Definitely. Okay. Anything else? Okay.
So.
Thank
you for allowing me to join.
If you can get the link for this speech.
Or do you want to find it and send it to you, and do you want to come by email?
You can send an email to us, or
do you want to tell us which committee you
have to
use your app?
Okay.
Because no use turning out a link to that committee or app.
Right.
The only reason I was asking Charlie to email me was because he's not on the list.
Oh, okay.
So why did I get reports from all these places? And also, I don't know if either of you read that OILAW doing meetings related to the Gannett versus the SHAG issue. And we had tabled it saying we were going to do it next semester. It needs to come back, and I think the actual meeting is the perfect time to bring it back, because I'm going to make sure our deal is. It's like we told them we were tabling it, we were going to bring it back, so we can contact them and make sure it comes back.
Yeah, because didn't we lose something in the last year?
Yeah, but we're going to re-examine at the, you know,
accurate minutes of that meeting, because I can't remember what we sent them away doing.
There was no resolution passed.
Yeah, no, I know, but they were.